Okay, so we need to share the lesson. And before we got started, in the last year or so, there's several things that just have struck me as being interesting, important, intriguing, things that I didn't see in a different way. One of those was sometimes just rewording something or asking the right question opens up a whole nother perspective on something that you looked at. One of those is the Genesis chapter 3, when the fall of Adam and Eve. What was the first cause? What caused them to sin? Well, that was because they lost faith in God, and they trusted what the devil told them. So they acted on what the devil said. And I find it fascinating in those terms that so they believed in Satan, and they fell, and that became a permanent status quo for them. They were out of fellowship. They were on their way, whether they realized it or not, to the lake of fire. So God comes in and says, "I have a solution." The solution was it will be the same way as they fell, by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, and that changes their everlasting status to saved, and they will be in heaven forever. Or, well, in the millennium, we may be on earth with Jesus Christ serving under him in our resurrection bodies. But I found that fascinating that they fell by faith and they were saved by faith. That just seems so profound, but yet there it is right in front of us. So I wanted to talk about hope, so we start with we're still in Romans chapter 5, and so we're not going backwards, but I'm dealing with so many things that are in chapter 5. It's full of stuff, so I'm dealing by topics. I mean, I can go through and go word by word and keep on going, but we needed to look at some of the concepts, and one of them is hope. And I learned some things about hope just studying for this, that essentially this is on the path to maturity. And sometimes we talk about how do I apply faith? How do I do that? What is faith? Well, part of that is patience or perseverance, waiting. I think that's another word that I found that interests me. Is that when we wait on God, we're really that's what that status quo faith. For instance, if you've got some big problem at work, and you go home and you say, "Okay, I'll just put it in God's hands," and I just have to focus on God. I have to wait on Him, and so sometimes the next day the problem is solved, and you say, "Well, how did that happen? How'd you do that, God?" Well, He's God. He can do anything. So he did it because you trusted him. You waited on him. So let's go back. We'll start with kind of a review here with Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of being declared righteous by God, another justification. That's those two words go together, righteousness and justification. When we trust in Jesus Christ, God imputes to us righteousness. And God then looks at us at that righteousness that he imputed and says, justified. So justification is a declaration of our righteousness. So we have peace with God because of that. And there's also there's a peace with God and there's a peace of God. And we're talking not with a peace of God. We'll get to that another day, maybe. We have peace with God. And so we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies of God. We talked about that passage. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. But this is not like a truce or a treaty or a ceasefire. We're now on God's team. We've crossed over and we're citizens of heaven. And sometimes we forget that we're not citizens of earth as it is. We're citizens of heaven. Because we know when we die, that's where we go. We go face to face with our Lord and Savior, our friend Jesus Christ. We're on God's team. We're legal citizens of heaven. We are family. I originally put the word, we're friends. We're not just friends. We're family. We're children of God. We're family under God's care. God cares for us. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. God cares for us. So don't give up hope. Ooh, there's that word. Don't give up your confidence. Be confident in God because he cares for you. Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult, we boast in hope of the glory of God. And something that Robbie Dean said, the glory of God, that's as it were a demonstration of God's character. It's his character manifest. So we see when one of the was it John? We saw, or I'm trying to remember which one it was in which gospel. Anyhow, we saw it was Peter's. Yeah, it was Peter. Said we saw his glory. He's talking about the transfiguration, but we saw his glory, the character of God. And I know that many people in the Old Testament wanted to see God, but they knew that if they saw the entirety of God in one second, that would kill them because there's so much power there. Moses had to turn his head away or go into a niche, and God allowed him to his glory to pass by, and so the glory or the character of God was manifested in the life of Jesus. So the apostles saw that glory. But you can manifest it as well, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on here. So we share in God's glory. We are exhibits in the angelic conflict. God took his enemy, which was each one of us, and through our response, our faith response, he justified us, remember, imputed righteousness, and provided many blessings. We know that the point of salvation gives us 33 or more blessings. I know some people have taken that to 40. I think one place they wanted to make it up to 50, but whatever. It's we have many, a multitude of blessings at the point of salvation. And that's why another reason why you can't say you lose your salvation. God never says withdraws those blessings. Once saved, always saved. Now, because we are family, God can whip us. And there's a, I forget what the passage is, but he can whip us in ways that gets our attention. So it was a permanent status of separation from God. By faith in what the devil told Adam and Eve, they fell, and it was a permanent status of separation from God, except that God provided an escape through faith in Jesus Christ, and I explained that. The salvation of each and every believer glorifies God, and now we can glorify God through walking by faith, dependence on God, the Holy Spirit. Again, God's glory is a demonstration of his character, and again, some of those characteristics we can manifest because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Something I came across was there are characteristics of God, and they call them communicable and non-communicable, is that we don't have infinite knowledge. We're not omnipotent, omniscient. Those are things that we can't, but we do have God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can manifest that character. And that's an important characteristic to remember. Was it 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love, hope, or faith, love, and hope. And the greatest of these is love. So being filled with the Spirit and manifesting that virtue of love is really important. But we're talking about hope, and all three of those, the faith is important because that gets us going. And the hope is part of our maturity. And so especially if you have maturity, that mature love, that you can manifest that. Now, certainly a baby believer can manifest some, but it's hard to, it's not mature love. When you grow in grace and a knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are things that you understand about God's character. You have developed patience, and perseverance. That's what we're talking about when we get to hope here. So here we go. Romans 5:3. And not only this, but we also exult, boast in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. So this is very similar to James, count it all joy in our tribulations, our sufferings. So there's something when different writers in the Bible talk about the same thing in the same way, we need to take note. Exult. This can be translated boast or exult. We are not boasting in what we can do, but what God is doing through us. Now, see, boasting can be both a positive and a negative. If we boast what we can do, well, that's not right because we're nothing. But when we boast in God, and that's what Paul often does, he boasts in what God has done through him. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from having arrogant about how much he knew, all the gifts he had. He had tremendous assets. So God gave him a thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. We may have that same kind of thing where we encounter suffering to make us humble. Humility is a very important aspect of our Christian life, to understand that we're nothing apart from Jesus. We're nothing apart from the God, the Holy Spirit. Our prayers are answered by God the Father. That's why we pray to him. So we learn about God and we boast in God, what God can do. We don't always understand why he does some things. We tend to try and understand those. We just have to walk by faith. And hopefully we persevere and God can reveal to us answers to prayers. Why is this happening? And I say that over and over again. You exercise that relationship to God the Father. Make it an intimate relationship. And you may want to ask, why God? Why am I suffering? Or what's this that I see? Why is the world in such a terrible state? Well, there are answers in the Bible. We know that this is the devil is the prince of the air currently, the current ruler. Now he can't do things that God won't let him. But God works all things together for good to those who love him. So it is often used, this boasting, in a positive sense to celebrate or be joyful. So you want to have count it all joy, as James says. So we must understand that tribulations, the Greek word is slipsis, or pressure, is part of the Christian life. We live in a fallen world. And we live in a world that's hostile towards Christianity. We talked last week about persecution.com and persecution.org. You've got the Voice of the Martyrs, but you've also got the Christian website that talks about different persecutions, especially in Africa or India, Pakistan. We know of problems in China, so all over the world. And even there's hostility in America. There are many people who are atheists who think we're stupid. We have a more sure word. We have the word of God. And it's sad when you meet an atheist and there's no hope there. There's no future. There's no confidence in the future. Talk to an atheist. Well, when he dies, he just becomes dust. Gone. Nothing. There's nothing left. That's just We know that everybody knows there is a God. Romans chapter 1 tells us that. So the atheist has to fight that and say there is no God, even though he knows in his soul that there is one. But it's so sad when, like in the story that Jesus told, a true story about the rich man and Lazarus, that the rich man died and went to torments. And then he's begging Moses to send somebody like Lazarus down to tell his brothers, don't do what I did. Believe in Jesus Christ the Savior. Well, Jesus' answer was, they already have the prophets. God provides the witness of the different people. The problem is that people don't want to. They fight against it. And at some point, like the Roman the Corinthian jailer, they may come and say, you know, I understand the situation. I believe. What do I have to do to be saved? But other ones, to their dying day, reject Jesus Christ as Savior. But there are those that on their deathbed they believe, and that I've seen two of those, and I know there's many more that they realize all of a sudden that okay, what happens when I die? That's one of those big questions. Where did we come from? What is our purpose? And what happens when we die? Bible's got answers for all of those questions. That's why I like to call Bible doctrine Bible answers. The Bible has answers. All we have to do is learn them. Go to a, that's part of what we teach here. The answers. But they're in the Bible, and sometimes God can provide the answers through the Bible. I've talked about a man, and I believe it was in India. Somehow he got a hold of the Gospels and looked at John chapter 3 without anybody giving him the Gospel. He read it and believed based upon John 3:16, 3:36, and that whole section. It's on the suffering's on the path of maturity. We're encouraged to join our tribulations because they lead us to maturity if we accept those tribulations while in faith dependence on the Holy Spirit. Those tribulations don't necessarily help us if we're like little babies and just cry. But that's the point of the tribulations, is to orient towards God's grace. Trust Him and persevere through the tribulation. Not necessarily avoid it. How many times have I told you the story of the girl at college that asked a pastor, how do I grow fast? Ask for suffering. Wait a minute. Well, but that's what the Bible tells us, is that we have suffering and that helps us grow. One of the things is perseverance. So I've said this, I don't know, I've probably said this already two times today. So I want to emphasize that as you grow and mature in your Christian life, you should develop an intimacy with God the Father. This prayer, this you can take. You don't have to do a prayer preparation for immediate prayers, as it were. Sometimes you all you can say is, God, help me. I'm having troubles. What do I do? In other prayers, like we talked about the lady that was had terminal cancer, people had to say, well, what do I pray for this girl? God has a plan for her life, so God, please move that plan forward. So she died and she went to heaven. She's face to face with the Lord right now. But that intense, intimate relationship with God the Father, we need that. That gives us that confident expectation, because we know who we're saved. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that God the Father has a plan, and He's answering prayer even around us, and we may not even realize it. So Romans 5:4. So we talked about knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance from the previous verse, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. That's our topic here. And Robbie Dean spent it's more than 4 hours, but he spent 4 hours specifically on hope, the different passages, going through them and talking around different things. And then he had virtues, so another 2 or 3 hours. I'm trying to pack some of that into 1 hour, and so I'm just really scratching the surface. But hope is not something where, oh, I hope it happens. It's not something. It's hope is confidence from the Bible. It's confident expectation. I repeat that over and over again. It's confidence. I know theme used to say theme, confidence, but it's looking forward. That's the point of hope, is it's looking forward. It's an expectation. So I have a couple of quotes from Robbie Dean that I thought were very helpful. In these verses in Romans 5, we have the ABCs of the Christian life summarized. Adversity builds Christian character. A for adversity, B builds, C Christian character. God says there is no other way to build Christian character than to face adversity with the promises and provisions that God has given us. In other words, God's given us answers. God's given us answers to deal with adversity. We just have to use them. And if you don't study, don't apply yourself to learning these Bible answers, someday you end up and you've got adversity and you don't know what to do. But God has given us answers. So anything else other than facing it with the promises and provisions that God has given us, anything else is a shortcut and destroys the process. Tribulations. This is the Greek word for pressure. We see that often throughout the Old and New Testament. It's often used for suffering and tribulations. There are an expected challenge to the Christian life. It's not to be feared. So that's you don't run and hide. So you face your tribulations, but if you've got answers and you know how to deal with them, and I've talked about this James passage, so let me just quote from it. James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's our patience. I believe one. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Just finish up here. James 1:4, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this endurance helps us to move forward in our Christian life. This is a word for patience. Herman suggests this word is related to pressure from circumstances. Here's a quote from they talked about it in 1 Thessalonians. I went and looked and found that he talked about this very word, but there are actually two words for the tribulations, and he's characterized them as such. Greek word for perseverance is makrothumia, translated long suffering, and refers to patience or perseverance or being long suffering in regards to people. In our spiritual love, we are long suffering towards one another. But there's yet another word, translated patience or perseverance, hupomone, which refers to being patient or persevering in respect to things or circumstances. This is our word here in Romans, as it was in 1 Thessalonians. So proven character. When you go through a situation and you come out the other side having used the answers from the Bible, or in the case like here, have you ever been on a team, either in the military or civilian life, and been tested and came out winners? There's a sense of achievement. There's a sense that what the team did as a group, depending upon each other, was the right thing. It will be something you will remember for the rest of your life. Military men that go to war, that depend on each other, and they come out the other end. They know they have survived, but hopefully they use their training. I've seen that in say you're flying and you lose pressure, so you have to put on your oxygen mask. So you're training, you know exactly what to do, because you have the answers. Same thing in the Christian life. And I can remember situations that I was in where As a flyer, we dealt with many different kinds of things. We dealt with the situation as a team, and we ended up doing a very good job. I don't want to get into specifics, but we did a very good job, and we're patted on the back for it because we had our training, we were prepared, and we did our job. We just did it the way we were supposed to, but we did it well. But the same thing can be said in the Christian life. Do you have answers? Have you trained, as it were? God will provide the suffering. He'll provide the training. Little suffering here, little suffering there. Were you able to use that? Sometimes you'll find that you ended up failing the test. Okay, you get up, dust yourself off, and move forward. But you've learned something, hopefully. I know how to do that next time. So eventually you pass a test, like a confidence course, where you run through in different things in a timed fashion. You've seen that in some movies if you haven't done it in the military. So that's what we have in the Christian life. You train, you learn. So just like in the military, you go to classrooms, and you learn this is how we do it. Then you go in the field and you actually train, and you train, and you train. And then you go out in the military and you actually use that information, use that training, and sometimes it comes second nature. That's the point in the Christian life, is that you don't fumble around. Well, let's see, where's that Bible promise? It's in here somewhere. No, you've got it right here. So that's the point of perseverance here. So proven character is what we're talking about. You were tested and you were successful. As a result, you have confident expectation. We can do that again. I know how it's done. I've done it. So the same thing in the Christian life. I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Hope. Here's our topic. The Greek, as we know from previous lessons, is best translated as confident expectation. But where does it come from? Let's check Galatians chapter 5 for the Divine Nine. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wait a minute. Where's hope? Hope's not listed there. The Divine Nine comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's true that these characteristics can be strengthened by daily walking in the Spirit, plus the study of the Bible, doctrine, promises. But hope, as we see here in Romans chapter 5, is the result of a process. You so remember that one thing after another after another. And I think Robbie Dean calls it a virtue ladder. One thing leads to another, leads to another. It's not something that you obtain in total in a moment in time or just a few points in a lesson. You build up that hope, that confidence. I'm able to go up one step. Okay, let me try two steps, like a baby learning to walk. So it's the result of living. It's the result of constant walking in the Holy Spirit. So Herman kept talking about, let's try a couple of minutes in the filling of the Holy Spirit. See if you can last 5 minutes, a half an hour, an hour. Let's live our whole day in faith dependence on the Holy Spirit. Let God empower us. For Paul, the word hope is important. The noun is used 13 times in the book of Romans. The verb is used 4 times in the book of Romans. No. I don't remember if that's 4 times in the book of Romans or not. I know it's 13 times in the book of Romans, the noun. So it's an important concept for Paul. So here's another quote from Robbie Dean, I believe. Hope is related to faith. Faith is the act of belief, and hope is that confidence and is faith on steroids. It takes us to another level because you are focusing on something in the future that you have a certainty about that strengthens your faith today. So hope is a present reality based on a past promise that anticipates a future destiny. It shapes in our thinking a level of confidence in God, so that when we face the challenges and vicissitudes of life, we are not knocked down by them, but can stand firm and develop through the Word a mentality of toughness and strength. Hope, I'm continuing to quote here from Robbie Dean. Hope is based on a past promise of a future reality. So he's got several different ways of saying this, and I thought I'd include several of them because it's important that we understand there's a past promise, there's a present confidence in a future reality. So that brings the whole spectrum of time together in us. And hope provides the believer with such confidence in future reality, so certain that it strengthens and toughens the believer's mentality today to face the fight and to surmount unpleasant circumstances with a mentality of joy, even in the midst of difficulty. Hope really focuses on the expansion of faith, and it is much more robust than faith. It's not unrelated to faith, but it is faith on steroids and focusing on the future. Hope is related to our future destiny, where that becomes more real to us than our present time. So you can think of another thing that Robbie Dean had talked about in another place is that our life on earth as a Christian is like a boot camp in preparation for the millennium. The millennium will be fantastic, perfect environment, no devil, no cosmos diabolicus, Jesus Christ on earth, we're serving him. Concentration on spiritual things, just amazing time. But we will be there as ministers, administering under Jesus Christ. So we prepare now. We understand, as I say, we understand. Sometimes I see God presenting things for me, just like, say, Adam and Eve, or Adam in particular, where God brought animals and he was supposed to name them. Well, sometimes maybe you have the same situation where God brings a situation in front of you, and it's almost like God is saying, well, what are you going to do with this one? How are you going to characterize this one? You got the promises to deal with it, so, and then, okay, you do. Pass, let's go on to the next one. So in our rush world today, there's an emphasis on getting immediate results. A young child can hardly wait to become an adult, but it takes time to grow and mature in one's decision-making capabilities. I'm reminded of a Dilbert comic strip that I've mentioned before. In it, a secretary pleads with Dilbert to make her an engineer, even if it takes all afternoon. We know that that's not possible. A seasoned engineer goes through years of schooling in math and physics, perhaps achieving a Master of Science or even a PhD. Then it may take years of applying what that engineer has learned to become a seasoned engineer. And I've seen that in my work before I retired, that you could have engineers attempt to solve a problem, but someone from the Air Force who'd actually lived through the situation understood from their gut right away, could see this is the solution. Whereas an engineer, I've seen engineer, I made a perfect system, and then the Air Force guy goes in and says, what's about this? This doesn't work, or this doesn't work. Or I remember one Air Force guy looking at a design for a terminal and says, there's 101 ways to design a terminal, but that's not one of them. An engineer just going out of school, and we've seen that with many kinds of different careers. You start come out of college and, well, that's not what they taught me in college. Well, the real world is sometimes a little different than what you see in college or university. So the Christian life requires learning about God, our relationship to God, and the assets we have to live the Christian life. So we have all these assets, and if you don't even know that you have them, like, do you know you have a spiritual gift? And as you grow, that whatever that gift may be, it may not be one that we have named, but you have a something that God has given you. And as you learn Bible information, it becomes obvious what it is. Well, when I became a believer, I would learn something in the Bible, and I wanted to tell somebody about it. or someone asked a question and I would give them an answer. And so people said, you have the gift of pastor teacher. I do. But that was okay. So some people might have the gift of helps, God can put you through different testings, and you have answers because you have been through that situation and you can help people. But God can give you, there are all kinds of different things that people have gifts of, but everybody has a gift that we know that. At least one, maybe more, but at least one. And as you become mature, you will begin to use that gift in an efficient way. Then we, after we've learned stuff, we apply what we have learned to life's challenges. This process can be accelerated by suffering, tribulation. And there we are, that same little line that I made. Tribulation leads to perseverance, leads to proven character, leads to hope, confident expectation. I guess I need to hurry up here. So we are presented with daily pressures. The issue is, how will a Christian react to those pressures? He can be grumpy. He can react in anger or hatred. The list of mental attitude sins is long. But the correct response is to apply Bible answers to the situation. How do I deal with this situation? Let's see. I've got a promise on that one. So it may be a simple promise. But the question is, will you? 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore humble yourselves. There's that word, humility, humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so you can look at this as you put, I think I'll say it here, but I'll go ahead and say it now. Casting is like throwing. It's not just lightly putting it on him. Bam! Put it on him. Get rid of that thing. Let God take care of the anxiety. And there's no anxiety with God. God's already got it. He's already got a solution already lined up. Just ask God to apply that solution. May not be the one you want, but it's what you need. Let God take care of the details. You can go about your day empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish your tasks patiently. The word for perseverance is a word for patience, waiting. Faith, proven character. This is a step in the maturing process. Hope. Let me quote again from Robbie Dean. Hope is based on a past promise of a future reality. Present, past, future. Another quote. Just as faith grabs hold of a promise, so hope focuses on the future fulfillment of that promise. Take the 1 Peter 5, 7 verse. In the past, God provided a promise through Peter, who got it from Psalm 55:22. Then I find that as we go through the Bible, you see people using promises, like, for instance, David, the battle is the Lord's. Well, that wasn't, he learned that from Moses, from God telling Moses, the battle isn't yours, it's mine. So casting, we talked about that. Throwing, this isn't putting something delicately. No, this is flinging. Get rid of it now. Let God take care of it. This involves having God take care of something. If you have actions to do, you do them. The Holy Spirit isn't going to do the work for you. But instead of worrying, have I done enough? Is it good enough? Worrying, not being able to sleep at night. You can ask God to empower you to do a good job. But in the end, it's God that wins the victory for you. We've seen that so many times in the Old Testament. I can say I have a whole hour just quoting. But one of my favorite passages, I know Theme talked a lot about David's life and faith rest there. I found Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 24:14 here. Well, the whole chapter 20 is amazing. He did everything right. He took took your problems to the Lord in prayer. So, starting in 2 Chronicles 20:14, then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear. The big thing all over the Bible. Don't fear. That's wrong. Or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The Christian life is a battle. We arm ourselves. We defend ourselves. But in the end, the battle is God. So we must depend on him to do the battle. We don't take it away. I can do that, God. I can do that. No, let God take care of it. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in the front of the wilderness of Jerula. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. In some battles, you don't have to do anything, but just trust God and his promises as here. But all, and also in Gideon's case, we saw the battle between two enemies. At other times, you go out to fight, and it's God that makes you successful because you depend on him. Robbie Dean has an extensive discussion of virtues. He goes through almost 2 hours with different things. I'm just kind of going to summarize with a couple of slides. So Paul and other writers of the New Testament have lists of virtues. We've encountered here in Romans 5, 3 through 4, tribulations leads to perseverance, proven character, and hope. And Robbie Dean explains, he talks about these as a virtue ladder, that you, okay, tribulations, that's the bottom ladder. So you persevere through the tribulations by faith dependence on the Holy Spirit, and you end up having gone through them, proven character, you were successful, you know how to do that now, and that leads to confident expectations that you can deal with that again in the future, using past promises. Robbie Dean calls them virtue ladders. One thing leads to another and another. This is part of the growth process for Christians. So Robbie Dean studies this passage as well as James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. I think that's 1 Peter. 1 through chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And Galatians 5, 22 through 26. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So the James and Peter passages are pertinent to our study, and they both include the word endurance. So that's an important word, endure, patience. Another way to say that is waiting for God. You trust him. So here's a slide from Robbie Dean. So we talk with the Romans, you have adversity, the ellipsis, pressure, adversity, tribulation. But then you have endurance or patience, hypomone. And you see that here with James, you've got the trial, a different word. Instead of thlipsis, you have perosmos. And then testing, dokimion. And notice this. Here you have dokime, tested. Here you have testing. But they both end up with endurance. That's an important word, that patience, that persevering. And in James, you get the perfect work, you have the end, the maturity. For Romans, you go through hope. So the writers have picked some milestones. You don't just say, well, see, now, let me have my checklist here. I've got this. You know, it's not always a straight line. You may end up adversity and endurance. Oops, I failed that one. So back to adversity. Or here you have testing. So there's it's multifaceted. There's no yellow brick road. You just don't get on the yellow brick road. Although the way of the Christian is faith dependence on the Holy Spirit. But that requires some information answers from the Bible. Now we have a second slide here from Robbie Dean. Again, emphasizing hupomone. You've got, it is 2 Peter. Okay. So you got Romans, hupomone, you've got James, hupomone, and Second Peter. So that patience is very important, being able to wait on God, to trust God, and that's how you move forward in your Christian life. Well, I've gone over how with well, I guess I had 10 pages, but that's just two slides. So let's end in prayer here. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for spiritual gifts that our gifts are meant for helping the church as a whole body. We have hands and feet and mouth and ears and eyes, and each one of us is a part of that. So we're grateful, Father, for the body of Christ. Pray that you'll help Spring Valley Bible Church move forward. Pray that for our nation, that you can settle people down. We have seen that there are on college campuses, in some places at least, an increased interest in Jesus Christ, in salvation, in the gospel. So pray that that will continue. So now pray, Father, that the lesson will go out and God, the Holy Spirit, can be the teacher and to lighten people's lives and be able to apply hope to their own lives. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.